Welcome back to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm Dean Wilson, and I'm sitting here with Dr. David Maines. We're going to talk to you pastors about making your sermons much more effective and life-transforming. We have some really practical suggestions. And last time that we met together, we talked about the sermon-sucking black hole. David, how about reviewing that for us? I want you to do that, if you will, by telling us a story.
I saw a fellow just the other day, Dean, and he said, "Oh, Dr. Maines, I'm so glad to see you." He said, "You asked me what my priest talked about," he was Roman Catholic, "the week before, and I couldn't remember, so I listened very closely the last time, and I know what he talked about." I said, "Real good. What did he talk about this last Sunday?" He said, "Well, it wasn't this Sunday. I wasn't in church Sunday, but the Sunday before that, I know exactly what he was saying." "Good," I said, "I'm glad you listened that closely. What was the homily about?" He said, "It's about... let's see now. I know I remember what it was." And, you know, he was sweating. Finally, I said, "Dude, just take your time. I'm in no hurry." But he could not pull that back again. And finally he said, "One of these days, I'm going to be ready for you." Which means he was trying very much to remember what the priest had said. And it doesn't matter whether it's Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, whatever. This is a problem that's everywhere. But I said to him, "Well, stick with it. I'll be here and I'll listen, you know." But that just shows you the way it is. Most of the time, people do not remember what was said Sunday morning by the pastor. Now, there are exceptions again. But for the most part, across the country, when you say, "Do people retain what is said by their pastor beyond the service itself?" the answer is no. It gets sucked up in this sermon-sucking black hole. It's gone. And I've had enough experiences like that I know this is a problem.
It's interesting because if I were a pastor, my immediate inclination would be to say, "Well, those silly people, they're just not listening to what I say. They're not concentrating." But here was a guy who was concentrating. In fact, he was motivated to remember what he was supposed to learn from the homily, and just so that he could retell it to you.
Yeah.
And he wasn't able to do it because he, as hard as he worked, he couldn't remember.
Yeah.
So there's an old principle in communication that says the greatest weight of responsibility on communication is on the communicator,
mm-hmm.
the person who's telling the message. They have the responsibility to provide the message in a way that will encourage and support the listeners in hearing the message.
Exactly. Now, there will be people who don't listen closely, or they may sleep through the sermon or whatever. There's nothing, if somebody's sleeping through your sermon, there's nothing you can do about it. They are not going to remember what you said. But we're talking about normal situations. That's right. If you communicate well, they should be able to remember it.
Very good. As I also recall our last visit together, you used the phrase pervasive when you described this problem. Could you comment a little bit more about that?
It's everywhere. You know, I don't care whether you're Lutheran, whether you're Presbyterian, whether you're Baptist, whether you're Roman Catholic, whether you're Salvation Army, whether you're Pentecostal, whether you're Evangelical, Fundamentalist, it doesn't matter to me. This is a huge problem. I think it's the biggest problem in the church. And until we are able to address this problem, we will not see the renewing in the church that we all long for.
So are you going to change how preachers stand or how they use notes or outline their sermons? Is it a matter of methodology in terms of the physical aspects of things?
It's not delivery, Dean. My personal feeling is the biggest problem comes early on in what I call the sermon preparation process. There are certain questions that have to be answered by the communicator or by the preacher, whether it's a male or a female. This person needs to answer these questions early on, and they set the direction for the whole of the sermon. The truth is, I don't many times get the answer to these questions even after the delivery of the sermon. I go back and I say, "Is that question answered? Is that they?" Because nobody ever answered those questions. And it's one of the big reasons why the sermons are not connecting with people, because the most important questions are not being answered.
So no matter how much time you might spend preparing, if you don't answer these questions that we're going to talk about, you're likely to miss the boat in terms of the congregation remembering what you're saying.
That's exactly right.
Wow. Okay, what's the solution?
Okay, I'm going to give four key questions that need to be answered early on in the sermon preparation process. I'm not going to talk about all four this time, but I'll talk about the first one. And the very first question that has to be answered is, what's the subject that I'm talking about? The subject isn't the same as the text. The subject is not the same as the sermon title, any of those. Basically, what am I talking about? What is the topic? And I can tell you, Dean, I've done this for many, many years. There are many sermons I listen to, and when they're all done, I say, what was the subject that person was talking about? And it's not just myself. My wife, I'll say to Karen on the way home, what was the subject this minister was talking about? And she said, I don't know. He never came up with a clear subject. He talked about a lot of things, but I don't know what he was talking about. Well, then you got a big problem. So before anything else is done, early on in the sermon preparation process, whether it's a topical sermon or a textual sermon, say, what is the subject I'm dealing with here?
So it's not simply, the simple answer isn't, well, I'm talking about this text, or didn't you get my subject from the sermon title? It's not that simple at all.
Not at all. Mm-mm.
Okay.
It is simple, but it's not resolved for the most part when ministers do their preparation work.
Can you give me an example of what you want someone to do by giving me a text?
Yeah, I'll give you a short one, okay? And I'm going to ask you what the subject is. You may get it wrong, okay? Because I did this recently. I was talking to a large group, and I thought, there's no way in the world I'll get this one wrong. So I'll actually read the text. It's just a couple of verses. And are you nervous?
I'm shaking in my shoes.
Yeah,
there.
You're perspiring on your forehead, okay? This is out of Luke 14. Then Jesus said to the host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Okay? Now, that's the text that I'm working with. And the reason I chose that text is because, well, it's three Sundays back now. I went to a church, and this is the text the minister was preaching on. And he got the subject, so I was pleased with that. I thought, well, that's a pretty obvious subject. Is he going to get it right? And he did. So just out of curiosity, are you ready to tell me what you think the subject is?
Well, I'm going to take a leap here. Okay. I think it's hospitality.
Okay, that's perfect. You nailed it right on the nose. I knew you would get it. Put your handkerchief away. So Jesus is talking about when you... I don't like the word as well, entertain. Hospitality is a good word. When you exercise hospitality. Okay, so we're talking about hospitality. In fact, the sermon that I heard preached, I was in a Spanish church. I have a friend who lives with us who is from Oaxaca in Mexico, and he doesn't understand English when I take him to church. He's not a believer. So I said, well, I'm going to take you to Spanish church. And so when we went to this church, I don't speak Spanish except very little. And when he turned to that text, I could figure out, and he said, Mexican people like to fiesta. And I thought, well, he jumped off with a good opening sentence, and he's talking about when you entertain people or when you have friends over and all this. But he's talking about hospitality. So exactly, that's right. Now, I did this recently, as I told you, with a group of ministers, and I said, now, what is the topic being talked about? And one fellow raised his hand, and he said, I know. And I said, okay. And I called him by name. He said, Grace. And I said, well, let me think about that a second. I don't know why you said grace. And then the way he answered, I think he says grace no matter what question you ask, because he's a grace preacher, you know. But if you look at it, the normal person, say a lay person, is going to say that's about hospitality or having guests over or so on. But you have to know this is what I'm talking about. Now, if you want to translate that into the world of where your people are, they're not usually holding a banquet. Most people don't hold banquets. But when you offer hospitality to someone, whether you take them out to dinner or whether you invite them over to your house for dessert or dinner, whatever, this is the way you're to go about it. So that's the subject, okay? Makes sense. So now we have that nailed, and from there we can go to the next question. But getting that subject is very important. And I've found many, many times that first question, it's not answered in most ministers' minds. They are so bound up with all the details of the text, they don't come out with the basics of it. This text is about hospitality, okay? I didn't tell you ahead of time what the answer was, did I?
No, you didn't. You didn't okay. Do that at all.
Okay.
I get a little point for guessing well.
You didn't guess. You did very well.
It occurs to me as you're talking that an alternative to this method is the pastor that preaches what I'll call the mystery sermon. That's the pastor who says, here's the text I'm preaching on, and here's my sermon title. Now guess what I'm talking about. And that doesn't seem to be very effective to me. So nailing down that subject seems to be something that's really, really important.
It's so important, Dean, and yet it's so seldom done. And again, I repeat what I said before. I've heard whole sermons, and when it's all done, I don't know what subject was, what the minister's subject was. Sometimes that's because they go through a text, and there are a lot of different subjects in the text. In fact, let me take another text. If you go to Psalm 1, and most ministers will know Psalm 1, I know it by heart, but blessed is the man who doesn't sit in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of the scoffers, and so on. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night, and so on. Well, that you could talk about a number of different subjects there. Okay, so in fact, many, if you get a text, Psalm 1 has 6 verses. If you get that many verses, you could maybe pick up 2 or 3 texts, or 2 or 3 subjects. So you have to say, as I preach on this, this is the subject I'm going to talk about. And that subject, in my mind, is where you're going to get your counsel. Who is it who counsels you? When you go for help to get the way you think, where do you go? Well, where is your counsel? That's kind of what the subject is as far as the core of that text. But again, you know, you could talk about trees if you want, because it says he's like the tree planted by the rivers of waters. It's not really what the psalm is about, but you could extract that verse and say, I'm going to talk about trees, I guess. But you have to nail down what is the subject, because if you don't know that, you don't know what you're talking about. And again, I would say literally, I would say if I listen to 10 sermons, and I listen to all kinds of sermons, if I listen to 10, I would say probably half of them, you cannot tell what the subject is that the minister is talking about. Now, that's a huge problem.
Yeah, that would be an amazing thing. I can't expect the congregation to lock in sync with me and receive what I have to say if they don't have a clue what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
If most ministers don't start by looking for the subject and the response being called for, where do they start their preparation?
It depends on what they've been taught. They may start by trying to think of an outline. What are the 3 points I'm going to do here? I'm convinced in my own mind, because ministers have realized that stories are important, that you can lose people, but if you tell a story, you can pull them back, which is wonderful. I find that's helpful to me as well. So a lot of times they start with an illustration. Sometimes they will start, you know, they'll start just with the text. What is the text saying? Because the text goes in different directions. They'll just kind of, you know, there are 4 things I need to say here because the text says 4 things. Well, the truth is, and if you go to a books in the Bible, the book of the Bible, if it's not a narrative, say it's an epistle, it will have a point. There will be a subject to the book of Galatians, or there's a subject to the book of Ephesians, you know. So what is the subject? And you want to stick with that. And once you get that in your head, then you're a long, long way down the road toward making a sermon that is going to stick with people.
Hmm. Fascinating. What if the subject of the text is not interesting or relevant to a congregation?
Then I don't think I would preach that text. You know, and there are sections like this. You can go through some of the epistles. Well, if you get in Romans, you get in the passage about the Jewish people in the middle of the book of Romans. That may not be real interesting to a group of non-Jewish listeners. You know, so you have to decide whether you're going to go through it come hell or high water, you know. And you may have some Old Testament prophets that are pretty tough to make relevant to people today. But if you look at it and you say, that's a subject, let's go back to the earlier one. Your subject is hospitality, and you're going to speak that to a group of people in a home for the elderly. And you say, well, that's probably not real relevant. Then I wouldn't preach on that text. You know? I would say, that's not a good text for those people. So yeah, you want to get a relevant subject, and once you nail it and you say it's not relevant, then get a different text and a different subject.
So the highlight of this podcast has been in the sermon preparation, a pastor, a minister, a priest, they have to nail down whatever subject they're preaching about.
Yeah, it sounds so simple, and yet that is violated time and again. And again, until you know what your subject is, And basically in your sermon, you're going to talk about that subject and the response that is called for, which is where we're going in our next visit. But yeah, you want to get that so you make sure you have a handle on that. It's hospitality. So if you start putting your sermon together and say, I'm not talking about hospitality, what happened? Well, you got off your subject.
Very good. Well, we invite you to join us back here again for the next podcast. We're representing sermoncoach.com, sermon-coach.com with Dr. David Maines. Thanks for being here. We'll look forward to seeing you the next time we get together.